Good afternoon. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest in the dance scene. Thank you for tuning in today. This afternoon, we're coming to you live from the heart of downtown Toronto. Welcome, my friends, to this sharing space, this healing space, this dance space. You know, as I woke up this morning and started to get ready for today's show, I began reflecting on something that the great Ethel Bruno shared with me. She said that you can communicate your whole life in dance. And that led me to think about many things this morning, but in particular, the heartbeat, that vital force, the pulsation, the beat, the rhythm, the drum. The heartbeat of who we are, how we live, play, breathe, and dance, my friends, and how that force drives us forward as we navigate to this complicated, extraordinary, and sometimes exciting world. Oh, my friends, I'm reflecting on the heartbeat today. And reflecting as well on all of you, our listeners, and the energy that you bring to our station, where a heartbeat consistently pulses here within the walls of our building. Today, we are celebrating a milestone, 35 years of CIUT 89.5 FM and 6 years of Turnout Radio, where we've been talking about the real live stories that live both on and beyond the stage. Thank you for celebrating with us. And today also marks the third day of the CIUT Spring Fundraising Drive. And your support over these many years has served the rhythm of our station and has helped to keep our programming on the airwaves to serve you and our great community. So, to show your continued support, we invite you to please give online during the Spring Membership Drive at CIUT.fm, or you can call 416-946-7800 or 1-888-204-8976 toll free. The Spring Fundraising Drive began Monday, May 9th, and runs straight through up until the 15th of May. Now, today on the show, I am so thrilled, so very thrilled to welcome Guillaume Côté, principal dancer and choreographic associate of the National Ballet of Canada and choreographer and director of Côté Danse, here to open up about how he's doing since we last sat down together and to discuss the thrilling multimedia dance work Crypto. So stay tuned and stay locked in to Turnout Radio. We're going to take a break and be right back with more after this.
CIUT 89.5 FM, the sound of your city. Stream us anytime at www.ciut.fm.
Welcome back to CIUT 89.5 FM and Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. And I am so pleased and overjoyed, in fact, to welcome today's guest, the absolutely wonderful Guillaume Côté is joining me today in our virtual house. Welcome, Guillaume. It's so great to have you.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Well, it's, you know, I've got to tell you, the last time that I saw Guillaume Côté was in Saint-Sauveur, and it was such a pleasure to watch your work. It's hard to believe that was already last year.
Yeah, a whole year has been by, so lots has happened since then.
yes, lots has happened indeed. And speaking of lots happening, Guillaume, before we actually get into what's been happening with you and all of the wonderful work that you have been doing since I've seen you last, how are you doing? How is Guillaume?
Wow, it's rare that you get asked that in an interview. Yeah, I'm doing good. I think so. I mean, you know, it's a weird time, I think. I think everyone's coming out of a pandemic with, I think everyone came out of it with high hopes that, you know, things were going to come back and it was going to be even better than before. And blah, blah. And then I think, you know, I think everyone's kind of going, oh, it's kind of similar.
Yes.
All the same challenges and the same things. And, you know, so I think everyone around me, including myself, is reevaluating priorities and reevaluating life in general. So, yeah. And I'm sort of at this tricky age where I'm 40 years old, you know, so I feel like midlife crisis I hate that terminology, but at the same time, I'm kind of going, oh, okay, well, maybe there is something in that where you start questioning, you know, purpose and, you know, and essentially how you want, what you want to do with your time and how you want to be spending it.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned the how are you doing question. And I often find that, especially now, Guillaume, that when it's asked of me, it sits differently. You know, it sits differently because of what we are experiencing within our global climate. And also with respect to what you shared with regards to the purpose part, I've really been taking a lot of time, you know, to really sit back and think about what is life? You know, those big questions. What is life to Nicole? And why am I here? Those big questions with a great focus on Guillaume, the purpose part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there are questions that maybe we stopped asking ourselves when things were very busy all the time. And then, yeah, nothing like a big worldwide pandemic to question everything that that you're doing. Yeah.
Yes, yes, indeed. One of the questions that I'm often encouraged by our listeners to ask, because individuals do wish to know, is the folks that come on your show, what is self-care? How do artists take care of themselves in this day? And for me, one of the things that I often do is take time to meditate and to pause and to, you know, to really reflect on certain self-care practices that serve my wellness. And so in Guillaume's busy schedule, how does Guillaume serve yourself with self-care?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of meditation. There's definitely a lot of physiotherapy.
Yes.
To keep the body going. At the moment, it's mostly... I've had to sort of step away from a few projects and sort of filter out a few things that I thought maybe I was doing for others, not for myself. That's been a big turning point, I think, in the way that I've worked since, you know, because I feel like it's a natural kind of thing as an artist to want to keep working as much as possible to kind of stay relevant or, you know, be driven in that way. And I think recently, in order to take care of myself and also of the work that I'm doing, I've wanted to focus in a whole different way. So I've thinned out my plate to a certain degree.
Yes. Yeah, I hear you on the thinning out. I am right there with you. I do. Well, Guillaume, this is a very special season, and we are so excited to talk to you today about crypto. So, Guillaume, in preparing to speak with you today, one of the first questions that I wanted to ask you, and if we can start with, is what is crypto and the meaning behind crypto?
Crypto was a... It started off as a project where I had this desire to make a dance work, a very small contained dance work with a few characters based on an idea of a modern fairy tale kind of thing. I thought, you know what, we keep rehashing the same ideas and the same context and the same stories. So why not try to get a young writer and someone who's now of our generation to tackle a new theme and a new idea for a fairy tale? And that came about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. I got in touch with a man. His name was Roy Spavrick. And he is a Canadian, actually, from Alberta, but who lives in New York. And I was highly recommended. He had just won a very prestigious prize, the Pulitzer Prize, for an opera he wrote earlier, a couple of years earlier. And so I approached him to see if he was interested in writing a kooky adult fairy tale for a few dancers and make a ballet and collaborate on creating a contemporary dance slash ballet for Côté Danse. And we jumped into this adventure together at sort of developing this theme. And he ended up using some elements from Little Mermaid, some elements from his work called Angel's Bone. And he sort of meshed it into this really, really incredible kind of dark story that revolves around a creature. And the creature, essentially, the word crypto came out of cryptozoological, which is actually the science behind study of animals that are not yet classified. So the crypto, we picked the name essentially before cryptocurrency was such a big deal. So in a weird way, we are now aware that people hear crypto and they go, oh, is that sort of currency or whatever it is, but now it's absolutely not that. It's something that that came out of cryptozoological, and this mythical creature that Royce has created is essentially the answer to everyone's problems, whether it's happiness or whether it's a lack of love or money, or if someone finds this mythical creature, every single one of their problem will be fixed. So in this particular story, it's a couple that's struggling in their relationship, and then they essentially go and find this creature, and they're very happy about it, obviously, because obviously, as promised, this creature should solve all their problems. They sort of bring it back to their home from its sort of wild habitat. And essentially, they fall in love with the creature. They want to keep it for themselves. And as they realize that, they have this sort of weird beast inside their house, they won't be able to keep it. They have to find a way to domesticate it. They have to find a way of controlling it. So this is where the story sort of gets a bit tricky, where they hire their friend, who is a plastic surgeon, to sort of come in and operate on the creature and morph it into some kind of human form in order to for them to be able to hang on to it. And I won't give it away, but essentially it culminates to a very problematic situation. And so I thought this story resonated pretty well, because there's sort of a few themes that run underneath the story, which is essentially, I feel like we are, as humans, always obsessed with the idea of sort of morphing nature, of taking nature and controlling it and sort of morph it into something we control and we understand, and then we call it beautiful, as opposed to just leaving it alone. In weird ways, the most beautiful things in life should be left alone in their wild states and not try to be owned by anybody. So that was a really nice theme, I thought, that is very true in the world we live in. And there's another under layer there, which I like, which is in a relationship. When a relationship is faulty and the relationship itself doesn't stand on anything, then it doesn't matter what you try to go get from the external world to bring in or to save a relationship. When the the fundamentals of a relationship aren't good, then it doesn't matter what happens. It just, you need to focus on the actual relationship and not anything else from the outside. Yeah, so then that's why I loved Royce's writing, because, it's a weird, out of this world, over-exaggerated fairy tale. As you see, the movements are really extreme, virtuoso. The costumes are as well, the projections. We really dive into a different atmosphere and a different world. Like, I'm not trying to be humans here. We are really this these characters that we play. And, you know, and I really love the idea that we play these exaggerated characters kind of like a Greek myth in a way, right? Where they represent other things more than what we are.
You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, I've got to tell you, you know, it was very intriguing for me in preparation for witnessing the performance to think about those critical conversations around that human need for control and transforming beauty. You know, just reading through that, that was very intriguing because when I think about beauty aesthetic and even just from being, for example, a little girl and witnessing just how much exactly what you said, you've hit it so beautifully, just how much there has been this, I'm going to use that word need really and truly, because I think it's so important or appropriate rather, that it seems that humans have had from my own experience to literally transform, to create beauty rather than, as you said, just allowing the beauty, the natural beauty, the elements of everything that grows and breathes and lives around us to just be. Mm-hmm. And so to see that that is one of the conversations or a topic rather that will be addressed is very intriguing for me. I'm quite curious to see how that will be attacked and addressed.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful way to address it, because I feel that we are just essentially bringing light to the issue. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're making a statement on the issue. I don't think we're saying, we're just noticing that I think this is exactly what truly a human behavior kind of has been this way for a really long time. And I think and I think you're right. I think so many people actually after the shows, we did it in Montreal, we did it, not in Montreal yet, but we did it in all over Quebec. We sort of have toured it in smaller cities. And it's funny because in the smaller centers too, where people don't see dance that much. And people, there was sort of talkbacks after the show. And it was really kind of amazing to see some people who would, you know, raise their hands and talk and go, you know, they really got it. Like they would be like, wow, it's so crazy. This creature is so beautiful. And then, you know, it's almost to its peril that these people want to control. Like, so, you know, people kind of drew kind of conclusions from, you know, whether it is domestication of animals, maybe it's domestication of each other, maybe it's ways that we try to always, you know, from Instagram profiles to whatever, we try to morph beauty, we try to morph our expectations of what beauty and what we require of people. And also the idea that if we control it and if we understand it, then we can state that it is beautiful. And if we don't, then we classify it as wild and a bit dangerous. And I like the idea that in the show we touch on that. We touch on the danger of leaving things the way they are.
Which I think is always a timely conversation.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah, truly. And not just because of the global climate that we find ourselves in and the very significant world-changing matters that we are news matters that we are facing when we look at humans, how we engage and encounter one another, relationships, how we see one another, how we're often afraid of one another just by our appearance alone. I think it's so vital how even just touching on the topic can actually begin to open up a stream of conversation for individuals to really think about our relationship to one another as humans.
I love the conversation, and I love that it is a port of entry into a conversation.
Yes,
that's what the show is meant to be. It's not meant to be, this is what's happening and it's so terrible. Like, it's meant to be a point of entry for people to go, oh, wow, okay, I can see from my own experience that this is what I've lived through. People have tried to control me in this way. People have tried to control that person to make them more like this person or whatever it is. And I think what's the best thing about Greek myths or fairy tales is very much the idea that we're communicating in a story that's fictional, but in that same time, it gives people a really great way of bringing their own experiences and reflecting their own experiences and putting them onto this this narrative. So Royce, I think the writer, which if I can go back to the writer here, I think was very clever at making sure that even though we live in fiction, that this fiction kind of is anchored in these sort of bigger and broader themes. So yeah, and sort of making the show, then it was important that that we didn't pretend we were telling a story from Guillaume and from Greta. Like, we were telling stories of these personas and these characters. So so in the making of the actual movement, it became very important that it would be a very unique show. So I really wanted everyone's vocabulary, everybody's movement vocabulary, to be distinct. So this is where the process got very interesting, because I see a lot of, like, I've also been part of a lot of, as you saw with this last summer, like, a lot of my work tends to live in a vocabulary, and then everyone kind of moves within that same vocabulary for the
right
work. But this one is very different in the way that each character has their own vocabulary. They meet somewhere in the middle, and you see the clash of the meeting between. So, for example, like, the creature is someone who, her name is Cassia, and she comes from Germany, and she's an incredible contemporary mover. It's almost like she has no spine. She's also very, it's almost acrobatic, but it's very sophisticated in a way that she moves like water in a way that I've never seen before. So her movement and the way we developed her movement was very much a collaborative process. So I would sort of, you know, I would work with her and her body and try to make sure, in the theme of the show, basically, to not morph her into something that I want, but more like use what she was really great at doing and sort of highlight her beauty and highlight her own instincts as well. So we worked very closely to try to make her movements and her character come to life in a way that was truly sprung from herself. So it made for a wonderful creative process. The creature ends up being very in the world of, like I said, an odd contemporary modern acrobatic vocabulary that you can't quite figure out if this person is human or if it's, you know, if it's beast-like. So the Cassia character was important for that. Then we have the plastic surgeon, which is danced by Natasha Poon-Wu, who's one of the, like, she's such an incredible talent from Toronto. She's been dancing in Toronto for a long time, and I'm so proud that she's part of this show, because I really love her as a persona. And she plays this plastic surgeon that's, like, larger than life, and she sort of does this acting that's super wonderful and over the top and kooky and exaggerated. But then her movement for me, and finding that movement was important, that it would be extremely virtuoso and extremely exact, that there would be like an exactitude to every single movement because of the plastic surgeon aspect of it, the idea that she is the extreme control.
Right.
In the show. So we worked again with her, with some of my exactitude of the classical world, but we sort of processed it within her contemporary way. And we ended up with sort of these solos for her that I don't know if anybody else can do them, to be honest. They're very difficult, very exact, very, very fast, and extremely hard to achieve. So they're thrilling things to watch, because you have this sort of plastic surgeon who's larger than life doing these really crazy little movements. There's Greta Hodgkinson and myself, who play the couple who he's struggling in, and we're more in sort of a contemporary ballet sort of world. So you put all that together and you have quite a bit of clash in a way. Like you have these really wonderful clashes of movement and of and these sort of interruptions, you know, when sort of, if you say, like, if the plastic surgeon dances with the creature, right away you have this weird acrobatic, very sinuous mover with this incredibly exact very virtuoso material. So suddenly you have a really interesting counterpoint of movement. So all that while telling the story was no small challenge.
Yeah, I would imagine. And I'm curious to know about those conversations that occur during the creative process in order for the dancers to be able to connect to the characters that have been created, and the preparation process in that respect. And so what are some of the key points that you serve to the artists that allow them and support them in being able to connect to those critical moments, but also to connect with one another during the process of what's being performed?
I find a lot of the wonderful ways to get dancers to use their imagination is through imagery. Mm. Imagery is a key thing, I think. Even when you work with established choreographers, often, you know, somebody will say, "Well, you have to do this with your head," or whatever it is. You have to like reach up, and then you do it, and it doesn't look quite right. But you know, then somebody says, "Well, picture yourself being a bird trying to catch a worm that your mother is feeding you." You know, like some weird kind of explanation of what it is, and right. Then suddenly your head movements are very, very different, because they come with a weird kind of imagery, and they come with this idea of, okay, I'm trying to accomplish this instead. So then the dynamic is very different. So a lot of that for the creature, I would say, we sort of played with imagery, and here, this is what you're trying to do. You're a wild beast who has met something for the first time, and you feel danger, but you still feel like you're on your own territory. So, you know, so it's those types of conversations that we would have. And the great thing about working with artists of that caliber is they process the information in ways that are way beyond your expectations. Like I thought, you know, at the beginning, you know, like that the responsibility would be so high for me to come up with all the ideas. And the great thing about collaborative creation in that way is that all the ideas sort of spring up from every single collaborator. So with Kasia, it was so wonderful to see that every imagery she would take and she would sort of question. And then, you know, as you start assembling the show, and it's tricky, the show is brand new music, brand new, there's some text being said, being recited by some actors as well, as sort of this voiceover. There's a multimedia, there's obviously a lot of choreography. So it's interesting because every character, as we sort of crafted the show, it was interesting because the first couple of shows, we didn't know who we were in a way. Like, how do we build these characters? How do we go from the beginning of the show to the end? And how do they make sense? So I would say that in order for us to start understanding the characters, we had to make the show and then go back. And now after, I don't know, 7 performances or something, we're starting to... I would say we're really in sort of these characters and how they do every movement and how they every interaction makes sense as to, you know, story and drive the story forward.
For those of you who are just tuning in, I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton here on Turnout Radio, sitting down with the absolutely wonderful Guillaume Côté. And Guillaume, we're going to be letting you go in just a few minutes because you're a busy human. You're a busy human, and we're so grateful that you are spending this time with us this morning. And so, Guillaume, before we let you go, what's coming up next for Guillaume? What do folks not know? Give us the 411. Can you give Turnout Radio the 411? What can we expect next?
What's next in Toronto is probably the National Ballet of Canada season next year. But what's next for me is the Festival des Arts de Saint-Sauveur. So I'm artistic director of a really great festival outside of Montreal in the town of Saint-Sauveur in Quebec. And it's a dance festival. We have 2 weeks of programming. And that 2 weeks is the last week of July, first week of August. And we present about 10 performances under a big chapiteau, under a big tent. It's really wonderful. Like this year, we're having companies. We have a company from Israel coming, Vertigo. We have an international ballet stars gala. We have Le Ballet Jazz de Montréal coming with some work by Crystal Pite. We have Yannick Nézet-Séguin with an orchestra called the Orchestre Métropolitain. So it's going to be a very busy summer, absolutely in Saint-Sauveur. So and we are also going to dance crypto there as well. So that's going to be next for me. I'm also going to Spoleto in June. I'm dancing in Vienna. I'm dancing a Béjar ballet called The Song of a Wayfarer, which is it's an older ballet, but I'm dancing there in the last week of June as a guest artist with the Vienna State Opera.
Absolutely fabulous, Guillaume. Fabulous. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing the 411 with us. We appreciate you. Thank you. And yes, I have such beautiful memories. I mentioned Saint-Sauveur at the very beginning, the top of our interview, sitting down with you. And of course, the equally wonderful Ilzer Ibrahimov of Fall for Dance North, the artistic director of Fall for Dance North. A big shout out to all of them, our friends there. It's such a pleasure to co-host with Ilzer the wonderful Mambo podcast. And that was the last time that we had seen you and sat down with you there. And so looking very much forward to what's to come, Guillaume. I want to thank you so much for spending your time with me today on Turnout Radio. You, Guillaume, are a joy. Let me tell you, you're a joy.
So are you. So much love to you. And thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. Much love to you as well, Guillaume. And much love to you as well, our listening audience. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with more of Turnout Radio right after this. Thank you. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Enhance Dance, an educational initiative that strives to enhance dance teaching, training, and performance through equity-informed and evidence-based principles and practices. You can learn more about this great organization, which is directed by Andrea Downey, at enhancedance.com. We're coming to a close of today's show. My thanks to the wonderful Guillaume Côté for joining me. Such a pleasure. What a pleasure it was to sit down with him today. And if you missed the recent performances of Crypto by Côté Dolls in Toronto, which was co-presented by Canadian Stage and TO Live, be sure to visit Côté Dolls on Instagram. You can find them at Côté_Dolls to take a look at image highlights of their work for upcoming performance information and much, much more. Turnout Radio attended the Toronto performance last week, and wow, was it a powerful night in dance. Our thanks again to Guillaume Côté, Côté Dolls, Red Eye Media, and to you, our listeners, for tuning in. Today's music was Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves. Technical production of our broadcast was facilitated by the fabulous Amber Downeyback. The CIUT Spring Fundraising Drive continues, folks. We appreciate your support of our radio station, and we invite you to show your love for CIUT by donating online at ciut.fm or call 416-946-7800. Or toll-free at 1-888-204-8976. You can also mail us and mail in your donation to 89.5 Tower Road, 3rd floor, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M5S0A2. And CIUT wishes to share the following with you. A $25 donation amount will receive a tax receipt. That's $25 and above. And for a donation amount of $89.50, you will receive a membership with CIUT and a 35th anniversary commemorative swag pack. $500 donations and above. Listen to this. You will receive a membership at CIUT, 35th anniversary commemorative swag, and the opportunity to host and produce your own two-hour radio program with guidance from CIUT staff and programmers. And you'll also be provided with the tools to piece together your very own two-hour show. All the support that you need. The CIUT Spring Fundraising Drive runs May 9th straight through to May 15th. And again, we thank you in advance for your support and your donations. Any amount, know this, that any amount is appreciated. Join me again next week for more of Turnout Radio, and be sure to visit us at turnoutradio.com. as we continue celebrating 6 years of our show and opening up about the real stories that live both on and beyond the stage and the heartbeat of who we are. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.
Thank you. curated by the people, for the people. CIUT 89.5 FM is the sound of your city.
CIUT 89.5 FM, the sound of your city. Stream us anytime at www.ciut.fm.